Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Paul Tonko, I guess I really want to know, I'm glad you're here, what should we do about what's going on in Iraq right now? It would appear that things are dire.
Well, they are a very difficult situation, very fragile. And, you know, over 4,400 deaths have resulted from our involvement there and trillions of dollars spent. And, you know, that we have a great investment in that area. And I think before we go forward, I think the president is very right in calling for an assessment from their leadership about how they're going to bring about security in their government, how they're going to invest their troops in bringing about stability, and knowing what the plan is before there's any move by the United States. Our military is exhausted. Our taxpayers are exhausted. And I think the president is absolutely correct in calling for a plan that is presented before we move forward. And I was happy to hear no boots on the ground as he took this very cautious approach and continues to call for diplomacy. I believe that our allies have to be at that table with us. And we go forward in hoping that some order of reasonable outcome can be achieved here without boots on the ground.
Now, you know the Republicans are going to say, you know, because that's what they do. He's asleep at the switch. He's not doing anything. He's a coward. He's avoiding this. He's avoiding that. How do you deal with that?
Well, you know, I think if investment of dollars and troops were the answer, we've already paid with 4,400 lives and trillions of dollars of investment here for war. And obviously, this is a very complex situation. You have various dueling factors, a very sectarian nature of, you know, rivaling religious groups and philosophical groups and ethnic groups. They have got to present their plan on how they're going to bring about security and stability, and they have to be awesome partners there. We have really shored them up and have helped them to this point, and they can't abandon that investment. And if they want a partnership with the U.S., they need to explain what they're going to do.
Now, that's a great point, if they want a partnership with the U.S. But, you know, every time you see opinion polls and other things, it's quite clear to many that they don't want us there at all. So we're in the position of we go in, they don't want us. How do you explain the role of the United States in world politics going in to a place that you're not wanted?
Well, I think one of those situations, if they do respond to a plan, they're at least giving a sense of a partnership. And again, I think that plan would obviously detail what outside forces could do, the U.S. and her allies. That, I think, would further clarify the commitment they're looking for from us and the acceptance factor, too. So I think when it's stated in terms of a plan, there obviously would be some sort of interconnectedness expressed, desired or undesired, that would guide us as we move forward.
What are you hearing from your Republican colleagues, Paul, the majority in the House of Representatives?
Well, there's an array of thinking. Some are with the president, I believe, and saying, you know, let's move forward cautiously. I think the no boots on the ground statement was welcomed by both Democrats and Republicans. And then there is a more right-leaning Republican element that, you know, is about calling for further, you know, penetration of the troops into the troubled spot. So I think there's a range of thinking.
You know, it occurs to me that you say that we have to, you know, hold back and get a plan from them. But they've got almost all of these northern cities, and they're headed towards Baghdad. It may be too late.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the ability to keep stability with so many rivaling forces and so many pressure points in the greater Mideast territory makes for a very complicated situation. And I think the president is very right in calling for, you know, diplomacy and calling for a plan so that it's out there in the open. I think hit and miss here, just entering in. I believe we went into some of this situation with the wrong focus, and that continues to I think, haunt us.
Paul Tocco, how do we deal with, you know, the politics of the situation? We've got a presidential election coming up. This is on, obviously, Obama's watch. Does Hillary inherit, Hillary Clinton inherit whatever Obama does?
Well, I think with her track record of being a Secretary of State and having been face-to-face with a number of these forces gives her her own sense of persona in this situation. It's not like she hasn't been tested here. She did a remarkable job as Secretary of State, and I think she'll have her own expression that she can exchange with the people of this country if she does decide to move forward and campaign for president.
Paul, on a different subject, I want to talk to you about something that's going on here in Albany, and that is the question of how we get our oil delivered. Shall we do it by pipeline or shall we do it by rail?
Well,
it's a Hobson's choice if there ever was one.
Actually, it's challenging us to look at our opportunity to be into alternatives and innovation and renewables as we respond to a comprehensive energy plan. If this doesn't tell us that we should rely on a domestic agenda that reaches to research, renewables, alternatives, energy efficiency as the fuel of choice, the Bakken crude situation is a tough one when shipped by rail, but also you have situations with pipelines that can be very dangerous. So, and in this case, you know, the Bakken crude that they're looking to ship would really use our turf, I believe, as a backyard where you run the hose through the backyard and at the spigot pour it into the international cartel. And I think where many people have been looking at this issue, their sense is that if we tap into the Bakken crude opportunity, that gives us a chance to bring about greater opportunities for consumers in this country. And we really need to, I think, wean us off of fossil-based dependency. And
but that's not going to happen overnight, right?
It's not going to happen overnight, but the sooner we begin, there hasn't been this strategy to move forward and do the sort of intense focus and planning that takes time. You know, as plants are going to be impacted by the president's initiative on climate change, here's a great opportunity for us to go forward and look at the cleanest opportunities, the least carbon emission, and the most sustainable agenda as it relates to environment and energy needs.
Now, we only have a minute, but I want to ask you about this. A lot of people think with what's going on in Iraq, the oil prices are already going up. There's going to be, you know, at least a perception of shortage. And some people have been saying this is good for those who want fracking. Is it?
Well, you know, I think there is a reasonable way to approach the natural gas alternative. But I would caution that we get so hooked on one fuel source. That is not the way to do it. It should be a diverse fuel mix. We should be able to reach into the natural gas supplies we have, look at renewables, look at some other retrofits that will allow for, I think, the cleanest use and energy efficiency being used as a major piece for that plant that's never built. The amount of savings, energy-wise, electron-wise, that we can achieve through the efficiency efforts are grossly under-tapped.
No, I agree with you. I think you're exactly right. You're giving us the right advice, but very basically it's a political issue that I'm questioning you on. Well, now I have a minute, which is that this plays into the hands. This whole international oil issue plays into the hands of those who want fracking.
It could. It could very well, because they will say, look, we're not going to deal with the imports from the Mideast. We need natural gas, and the way to really intensify the natural gas supply is to reach a hydrofracking. And I think that, you know, we need a sounder policy than that. We need to be able to look at the diversity of fuel mix. And when we do that, I think there's a way reasonably to address the hydrofracking issue that is sounder for the environment.
Congressman Paul Tocco, a man I'm proud to call my friend.
Oh, likewise.
And a guy who always teaches me something. Thanks so much, Paul.
Thank you.